are you going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you to the last Meet Me at Mutual of the first half of baseball, at least the first baseball half, let's put it that way. It's, you know, they've passed the halfway point of the season a little while back. We're up to like 90-something games now, I think. So I'm your host, Daniel Shelton, C70 at the bat, at C70. With me, as always, Alan Medlock of the Cardinal Conclave over at Red Dirt Red Bird, and also at AMedlock1 on Twitter. And Alan, it's another week, another off the field flare up. Well, let's just get right into that before we get into the, you know, what actually happened. Mark Saxon writes an article Wednesday, I think, maybe it was Thursday, about Bud North and his approach to Jordan Hicks, and how his mentor style is, if you will. Which got some people worked up. Jordan kind of came out and put a little bit of that fire out. And there's another portion of Saxon's article that hasn't got a lot of attention, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's go ahead and just talk about this thing with Norris and Hicks. And it does sound like it really is no big deal. It's just, you know, that general veteran keeping a rookie in line. And then, you know, Hicks has come out and said it's not a big deal. Nobody else seems to have a big problem with it. I mean, what's your take on that?
When the piece came out and we read it, I knew it was a big deal because someone sent me a DM and said, "Hey, have you read that? Because I want to get your take on it." And I thought, that's pretty rare that someone would do that, especially, you know, it was Colin. And I was like, oh, okay, well, let me check it out real quick. And I read it, and I was like, this is one of those that doesn't look good on Norris, Matheny, nor Hicks. And to me, you know, in my eyes, I was like, oh, this isn't going to go over really well. And then that next morning, you know, after you and I talked about it a little bit that night, I was like, well, let's see how this plays out. And then, it was all over the radio. And, I thought it was kind of not blown out of proportion, but it was just another bullet in the gun aimed at Matheny in a lot of media circles. I felt like that. So today, I knew that it was going to, I knew that today pregame was going to be a circus, because that would have been the talk. And, you know, Kevin Wheeler, he was funny yesterday on his show. He said, being 11 years in that clubhouse, he said, I can tell you right now, he goes, that will be pretty sparse today. He goes, because guys are going to want to avoid the questions about it. But obviously the parties in question in the article were brought up. Now, whenever I heard Saxon's rebuttal last night, not necessarily a rebuttal, but his breakdown of why he came out with it, I thought it made a lot of sense. It was like, well, you know, I'm super curious in clubhouse culture. I wanted to put it out there. I didn't think it would take the I did not think that it would snowball like it has. And I think that he was more talking about, you know, the reaction of Hicks and Norris and Matheny weren't necessarily what they came across in the writing. And that's one of those, I was like, well, if you need to see facial expressions, you know, to get the gist of the story, I'm not so sure the story needs to be out there. But I'm a big Saxon guy, and I mean, I understand where he was coming from, and it got squelched pretty quickly. But it, coming off the heels of the Fowler situation, it doesn't look great. And it kind of looks like things are just a mess.
Yeah, I got to say, I kind of looking at what Saxon wrote and what he said is he didn't expect it. But if you look at I really found the article by, and I've forgotten his name now, unfortunately, Tyler Plunkett, I believe. Taylor Plunkett, maybe, over at Viva Alberto's, which he really kind of broke down the language used and things of that nature. And I think that Mark Saxton could have done it better, you know, been a little less inflammatory with some of the word choices that he used.
Sure.
I mean, you know, probably there isn't nothing, but you are throwing this into a fan base. And I mean, if people are reading The Athletic, there are people that are online, there are people that most likely are engaging on Twitter, there are people that, you know, if you have any kind of pulse of what the internet Cardinal fandom is, you know that especially a large portion of them are looking for something to go after the manager about. And you know that this is probably, I mean, you should know, let's put it this way, you should know that the way this is written is not going to come off well. You know, now it would have been more helpful if Jordan Hicks had commented in the article. You know, it just says Jordan Hicks doesn't like this treatment, and he says, you know, basically no comment about it. If he had come out and said, hey, he's tough on me, but, you know, I understand it, I understand what he's trying to do, that kind of stuff, something like that in the article, I think that shuts down most of this altogether. So maybe you do put a little bit of blame on Hicks there, and that's, you know, maybe that's a rookie not knowing, knowing what the media is going to look like, knowing what this story is going to be. Maybe he just, you know, maybe they just caught him on the wrong day. I don't know, but I think a comment from Hicks in that article, would have been better, and examples would have been better too. And this is kind of when I wrote about it at mine, it's like, we don't know what, you know, Mark Saxton phrases it, mercilessly writing. You know, sometimes that's just, you know, people busting chops and stuff like that. But sometimes it's just, you know, really going over the top. And we didn't hear any examples, didn't really know what that meant. And so that left it open to negative interpretations. Now, again, you know, Mark is pretty adamant. I've seen him kind of he kind of said he expected people to circle the wagons. He kind of stands by what he reported. You're right. It was more of a clubhouse culture thing, but it was open-ended enough that it allowed for these kind of discussions, and you just had to know they were coming. And you know, I think he could have done better than that.
Sure. Well, I agree. This is, that's kind of how I felt about the deal. I was like, journalistically, I don't know the right or wrong way to do this kind of stuff, but I thought coming off the heels of Fowler that the timing was pretty poor.
Yeah, I mean, that is. I mean, you're right. You've got this already primed area, if you will, of the fandom that's already, it's like, what is this clubhouse doing? You know, these guys are already falling, you know, Matheny, everything's just falling apart from Matheny, blah, 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 blah. And then you throw that onto the, you know, that kind of red meat out there, then it's like they're just going to jump on it, and you got to know that. What might be more interesting, and again, it's been talked about some, but I don't think it's gotten the attention that some others have, is that apparently Bud Norris, brand new Cardinal Bud Norris, who is a veteran, but also has had some issues in his past, is some sort of, you know, almost policeman for the bullpen, to the point that he has at times reported to Matheny, and Matheny has used that information to levy fines. I think that might, again, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. It doesn't seem like it's something, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal to them. You know, we haven't heard a lot out of the clubhouse. And, you know, again, maybe this is just general baseball, you know, policing. But it strikes me weird. I mean, it's one thing if Norris is taking this on himself and he's, you know, trying to, yeah, hey, guys, let's, you know, let's get here in line. Let's, you know, you're better than this, blah, 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 blah. But when you take it to that next step of, you know, reporting it to the manager, it just feels, it feels wrong from when we read it on the outside.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And that's, it's, that, I'd almost kind of forgotten about that one, because that was the line in the portion of the article that spotlight shined on the brightest, I thought, because you're just like, that really makes Norris look bad. So, you know, I think there could have been a little more context to that portion of it. But I don't know. I mean, that's the situation where you're like, that doesn't look good in any portion of the Norris Matheny side of the story.
No, I don't think it does. This is the first time we're hearing about it. I don't think, you know, it did say some players are not real happy with Norris, but it doesn't seem like it's necessarily one of these, you know, huge clubhouse risks. But it's just kind of one of those, you know, what the old idea of the Chinese water torture of the drops that continue to come. And when, like you say, you put that on top of this other part of the story, you put this on top of Fowler, you put this on top of things in the past, like, you know, Colton Wong, coming out, you know, with that article with Rob Raines, was that, you know, last year, a couple years ago, I guess now, and, you got Yadi Molina with Instagram last year. And you just, you know, all this stuff starts dripping and dropping, and a lot of these things may have been fixed, and we don't, you know, I think it seems like Wong and Matheny are maybe on a better page, I don't know, but all this starts dripping and dropping, and you start to wonder about what that clubhouse looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, like I said, I sure wish they were playing better so this thing wouldn't be the spotlight, but unfortunately they're not, and it looks like that, you know, things are just completely close to coming off the rails.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing we talked about this some last year, you know, with Yachty and all that stuff, but this is the kind of thing that, that comes out when teams aren't doing what they should be doing. I mean, everything's hunky-dory when teams are winning 90, 95 games, but when they're not, small things are magnified, big things come out in the open, whatever the case may be. So I don't know. Again, overall, I don't think it's going to matter. But, yeah, it's just a weird situation. And talking a little bit, about that Fowler situation, you know, kind of comes out, Derek Gould does a little bit of reporting this week, you know, because there was that idea that he was blocking or ignoring Matheny's texts. And, you know, that kind of got rebutted, not entirely. It sounds like maybe their relationship is better than it was, but I found it very interesting reading some of these stories. The John Mozeliak is completely in Fowler's corner still, and it sounds like Bill DeWitt is as well. You know, if push comes to shove between those two guys, Matheny and Fowler, I don't know how that works out.
Yeah, that sounds like a tough situation. The DeWitt article today, I thought it was pretty. The way that he reached out to Fowler, I kind of liked that. It was surprising that it was through a text, but I thought that, I guess that's how everybody communicates nowadays. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, that it's a tough situation. That's why I was hoping that he would take off to where it would be a dead issue. Especially after the Grand Slam the other night, I was thinking, okay, he gets going, this is going to be done, and it actually fills a huge hole that they've needed all year, and maybe just, I'm still not positive they're going to get on track. But I don't know. All you can do is throw your hands in the air. I'm speaking for myself about the situation. They just need to get going. And I don't know what the end game is going to be. They get swept this weekend, I think there could be some big changes. They win 2 out of 3, and I think that you probably don't see much by the deadline. I think that this is a pretty pivotal series. And, you know, a Matheny / Fowler or both or one or the other, that is, you know, we could see a different look in this whole situation.
It's possible. I still think, a sweep this weekend, that could be a problem, especially what everybody else does. But I think the big tell is going to be that 5-game series right after the break against the Cubs. I mean,
sure,
if you go out of that and you, you know, even if you win 2, I don't know if that's enough. And if you don't win at least 2, then you got, you know, you probably as well back up the cart and start selling.
Turning in the uniforms.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no point, you know, that's kind of where you're at.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right. I thought the article with Bill DeWitt today was interesting to read. It was also kind of boilerplate. I mean, He sure. thinks they're still a playoff contending team. Well, what's he going to say? You know, he thought that the offense was sporadic and the pitching's done well. And yep, that's kind of what we say all the time, you know. It is. I didn't get the sense that there's massive changes on the horizon, but this is a club that plays their cards close to the vest. They're not going to come out and say, we need to win, or they're going to be, you know, Matheny's going to be needing to look for another place to live. They're not likely to do that. They're not likely to set these, okay, you have to win, you know, if we're not three games out by the end of July, then everything's done. You know, like, they're not doing that. But, you know, the internal calculus is being made, and we'll see what those decisions are when they get made. I don't know. But, yeah, it was kind of interesting. I thought it was very interesting that, you know, Mo and DeWitt both reached out to Fowler in that regard. Matheny didn't. He said it kind of sounded like he felt like that was a management decision. But, boy, I don't know. I feel like, you know, if I'm the manager, if I'm the guy that's supposed to be, you know, that level right there with those players, I feel like I got to at least send something, you know, say, hey, man, you know, I don't know what Mo's saying, but, you know, you're with us, you know, I'm with you, all that, blah, 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 you know, something. And I realize the relationship probably isn't great, and maybe that wasn't necessary, but it just seemed a little strange to me.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. And that, yeah, that it made that just maybe that where it was icy. I don't think it was nearly as bad as we think, but I'm sure that, seeing how Pham, who wasn't hitting, Carpenter wasn't hitting, Ozuna hasn't really, you know, he's had his stretches, but still hadn't been, you know, tearing the cover off the ball. Those guys have kind of gotten a pass, and Fowler didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can see the peripherals didn't look good for Fowler anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't hitting the ball hard or anything, you know, like that, and still really hasn't. So, to answer the question, I don't know. I feel like he may have felt like he's picked on a little bit, but, you know, it's tough for me. I want to say so bad, you're just like, hey, listen, we wouldn't want our best chance to win, but ego tells you that you should probably be in the lineup. So, it's so tough to judge that.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you think, I mean, if you're a player, you're always thinking that you're that close to turn it around. And if you could just get out there and play, you know, you get it going and all that. And sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. Yeah, it is probably still somewhat telling, and maybe it's just playing the game, but that Fowler doesn't want to leave St. Louis, or at least says he doesn't, you know. He could make a bigger deal about it. He could say, yeah, if they came to me, I'd waive it or whatever. He doesn't seem to indicate. He seems like he wants to, you know, build it here. And whatever that means or whatever that looks like, I don't know. But it is kind of interesting that he wants to – he doesn't seem to be looking for the first door out.
No, you know what? Publicly, I don't think you could ever do that. And I mean, you're not going to be, hey, I need to be traded, or I'd be willing to be traded too. But I think that you're going to keep quiet just because I think you want that financial leverage. If they do ask you to waive it, is, hey, what's the dollar figure that's going to make you waive this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the way I kind of took that. So yeah, I mean, I'm not convinced that they went to him and it was one of his destinations that he would not take it.
Mm. Yeah, I think that, it is interesting that he's not, hey, anybody, any place but here is better. You know, I'm not that miserable. I'm not to the point where it's like, get me away from this Matheny guy. I don't care what you do. And you know, who knows? Maybe Dexter's reading the tea leaves and says, look, we don't make the playoffs this year. Matheny's not going to be around for me to worry about anyway. So, you know, I can just wait it out. I don't know. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what's actually gone on this week. It is kind of the same old. I mean, we keep talking about this. Excuse me. You know, last week we recorded right after they, you know, put up all those runs against the Giants. And they came out and barely did anything and lost the next day. Then they win, then they lose ugly, then they win big. I mean, they really have, since we recorded last, gone, you know, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, you know, that kind of thing. They got three with the Reds this weekend, and this is a different Reds team than we've seen, so I don't know if we will go there. But out of this week, I mean, two off days is kind of, it doesn't seem to have made much difference, although it was second off day, which was yesterday, so I guess we don't know. But I just, you know, yeah, that's really what it is. I don't know.
Sure.
It's just, we keep watching this rolling, and we keep waiting for stuff to click, and nothing does.
No, and it's funny, you know, you and I we texted about this a bunch, to where, in my eyes, that West Coast trip was successful. Mm-hmm. You know, because I really thought they may be buried. I thought this could be the time where it's like, well, they never perform well in San Francisco. Arizona's just probably flat out better than they are. This probably isn't going to look good. So to win four of those, I was pretty happy about it. You know, you had a chance to probably win five, possibly win six. You could have been in a really good spot, and then you probably should have won the two in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So all in all, the three-city trip wasn't terrible. But they didn't make up any ground, and then they lay the egg on the last night. You know, it's one of those, it's just like you could just tell. Like you and I were talking about, what's bad is that's the predictable situation now, where you can see them scoring the 14 runs and then coming back the next night and scoring zero. Mm-hmm. Now, Rodon, maybe that good. And like Rusty said, they struggle against left-handers, and there's really no explanation why. But just the pattern is so frustrating. And it's one of those to where that was so boring the other night. You know, they're just a boring club Wednesday night. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've said this on here a lot. You don't want to trade for trading's sake. And, you know, they're going to trade away a player that you really like. But they're just tough to watch right now. And you just wonder when the expiration date is coming on that in this situation. And after reading DeWitt today, I don't think it's soon. You know, so I don't know, and you're right. They're just tough to figure out.
Yeah, you're right. It's, again, organization that oftentimes we don't know a trade's coming until it's, like, announced. So it's hard to say, yeah, they're not going to do anything, but it is so difficult to know how to get that kind of consistency. You know, the Cardinals... just, and I guess part of it is just, you look at the lineup and there's guys that are good, but they're not doing well. I mean, you've got Carpenter, you've got, you know, Martinez when he's in there, and that's an issue. You know, DeYoung has hit pretty well since he's been back, although he still hasn't hit anything that's more than a single.
That's a concern for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think there is some there. But at least he's doing that. I mean, it's kind of like Marcell Ozuna earlier in the year, and even now, although Marcell Ozuna is, I'd like to look at that, but somebody put up the stats where what he was hitting before that big, you know, strong streak that he got the player of the week, and then since then, he's even worse than that first part. I mean, he's not hitting much. You know, and what he is hitting is just, you know, on the ground. You know, you just, you know, when Yadi's one of your more reliable bats, and nothing against Yadi, because Yadi is very, very good, but he's a 30, now 36, happy birthday, Yadi, year old catcher, he shouldn't be like the center point of your offense, you know? He should be helping out here and there, but right now, it just feels like he's got to do a lot because there's nobody else that's going to, besides Matt Carpenter, that's going to do anything on a regular basis.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's, I was thinking about this the other day to where I feel like they squandered great pitching early in the year. And now I wonder if they're going to not take advantage of a huge season from Carpenter. You know, they just, mm-hmm. Actually, but yeah, you're right. I mean, I wish there was some reinforcement we could look at coming back around. Like, I mean, we love that DeYoung's in the lineup, but we were worried about this, about the lack of power. I mean, he may go out and hit two homers tonight, but hadn't really shown any signs of that, which is typical of hand and wrist injuries.
Right.
So it's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough. as of right now, that outfield is quite the disappointment to what a lot of us assume was going to happen. Every time that I keep thinking that Ozuna is going to get on track, he seems to regress a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of disappointment around, a lot of worry that they're not, that they may be done now, but, you know, I'd just like to see, I'd like to see a mix and match. I'm glad Martinez is in the lineup tonight. I had a feeling they're probably going to wait till they get back to Bush to maybe, he'll probably play right all three games this weekend. And that's definitely getting that bat in the lineup because they need it. But, yeah, there's no easy answers to it.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you're right. You get that bat in the lineup, but then, you know, obviously, Dexter Fowler can't get in there to try to get on track.
Yeah.
And then you worry about Harrison Bader. Now, I think it's most telling, as we look at tonight's lineup, that Tommy Pham is hitting seventh. Because as much as we like to remember Tommy Pham from last year, that's not Tommy Pham this year. And, you know, his first month notwithstanding, he's been pretty rough overall. Do you actually think we'll start seeing more of him, you know, being benched and let Martinez play right and Bader play center?
I think that it's kind of leading toward that. Now, that's he'll probably get a lot of time to try to work it out, probably more than Fowler did. But what worries me is in the four strikeout game, he looked lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. They say they're. I like the initiative going and working on his own over the break. Maybe when he come back, we'll see a little bit of motivation. You know, he has that chip that seems to motivate him. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, it's so tough for me to see them taking off. But it's when you look at the talent, you're just like, I just can't imagine that they don't at some point. But I've said that for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You look at Tommy Pham's splits, and I mean, he's hitting 235 against righties. Although that's where 11 of his home runs have come from. You know, his OPS is in the 720 range, and that's somewhat boosted by the fact that, you know, April he had a 964 OPS. You know, since then it's really been ugly. I mean, you look at the line slash line for May, you know, 195, 276, 425. June, 198, 245, 292. Then July, right now, 235, 333, 353. And none of those lines sound like a major league starter, or should be a major league starter. And, I mean, they're, you know, he's hitting better than Dexter Fowler, but that's about it. And it's difficult because I know that Pham was so good last year. I know that Pham, in theory, is playing for his next contract because he didn't sign a two-year mm-hmm. deal or whatever in the offseason. He signed this one and hopes to go to – does he go to arbitration this offseason? I guess he does. He wants to take some good numbers into that. But, you know, it's getting to the point, and this is what's frustrating, is you keep hearing the team say – they're figuring it out, or they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to put the pieces together, or whatever. It's the All-Star break. It's mid-July.
Yeah.
You've got to know who you are.
You and I have been all over this for basically the entire season. You know, I drank the Kool-Aid last year that I got, like, it's going to happen. They're going to be fine. And I felt like last year was just the tops of that. And this year I kind of felt the same. I was like, you know what? I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. But they're too good to think that it's not. But this is like 3 years now. You know, almost 3.5 years of this group to just never unhooking the trailer and getting going. So I think that I'm in complete agreement with you that line's just getting ridiculous. The figuring it out, you know, get out there tomorrow, keep fighting. You know, that's where the message to me has gotten lost. You're just like, well, when is this going to happen? And to me, we're at the point where it's like, Ed, that's not going to happen, and you're fooling yourselves. You need to do something to shake some things up.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and maybe, like I said, maybe moving Pham down to seventh is an indication they realize that.
Sure. I mean, well, and the Martinez in right field, I think, is a good sign. Mm-hmm. It's funny why I keep pounding on that, and you guys, and you know that because you probably read a lot of the messages today. Well, I was just looking at some names that are out there that I was like, what kind of bat could come in here that they could get and could maybe have a little bit of control over? And here's the first one that popped up because, you know, he's controllable through 2020. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, let's see. I know that he was a terrible third baseman. Let's see how he batted. You know, when he's leading them to the playoffs and had that huge half. Well, I'm not expecting that to happen with Castellanos, but he's hit, and he always has. Well, then you look at Martinez, and his numbers are not that far off from Castellanos. And I'm just like, well, if they're willing to play him in right field in an American League park, I understand he's probably going to get a lot of DH at-bats with Cabrera gone, but he's still playing right a majority. I think you've got to roll the dice with Martinez in right field. And then you've got that bat in the lineup, and you have an improved defense in my eyes when you have the corners of Jerko and Carpenter, and you have Wong playing every day. That kind of rides that to where I said that they've got to go two directions. You've got to add bats, and you've got to try to outscore people, or you've got to ride the pitching that you had, and you try to save runs. And I think you can kind of ride the fence on that a little bit, Martinez in right field, and still have the better infield defense, at least, on the field. So that may be it. That may be an act of, you know, act of desperation that we don't see out of them very much. But it is definitely a break from the norm. So I don't know. It's also another thing you look at, is this a 3-week experiment before they feel like they have to give something? Mm-hmm. I don't have any indication that they're going to sell, because I don't know what kind of pieces they would sell. But if they do, I think it's going to be one of those sell then prove type deals. I don't think that, I don't think it's going to be a shove off and let's go from ground zero here. So this may be a short lived 2.5 week situation with Martinez and Wright, but I do like the fact that they're trying other things.
Yeah, it is to the point where they've got to do something like that, and you're right. Maybe it's just so they know what to trade for. Maybe they, you know, want to show, you know, get the bad taste out of people's mouths for, you know, when they're worried about Jose Martinez, just like, look, you can put him in the outfield, or, you know, you can DH him or whatever. You don't have to play him at first base. You know, I don't know. I think it's very interesting that it took so long, to get to this point. But I guess at some point in time, you don't want to just start juggling around things all the time, because you've got to have some sort of run out there and see if things will click. But there does come a point where you've got to know what your team is, and we'll get to that point.
I agree. Well, and I think a lot of that constant movement that they were that they were doing is, I think it was detrimental. You know, to where they like to sell this flexibility. I just felt like you could never. You could just, the team just seems more fluid with the infield they have now. You know, and trying to find that, to play the hot hand and do that. And I just think you have to roll with that for a while.
Yeah. And figuring out the hot hand is an interesting thing, because, you know, again, bench guys are not going to get hot. So when somebody stops being hot, you know, if Martinez hits a slump, then you have to bring in a Bader or a Fowler that may not have played much. So how are they going to get, you know, can they really be on track? I don't know. It'll be a juggling act, and you hate that it's come to that, because you'd like to think that this team was a little bit more solidified, one way or another, even. I mean, even if we knew, hey, they're not any good, but these are the guys that are going to be out there. I mean, that's one thing. But now they just, you know, you don't know who's going to be there. You don't know what they're going to do, and you continue to worry about, you know, just trying to find some sort of offense that will get this thing going. Cardinals made a couple of moves today. They brought back, they activated Luke Gregerson, and they brought back Tyler Lyons, patron pitcher of the blog. Activated them, sent down Luke Weaver, which is basically because they don't need Luke Weaver for ever now. You know, with the All-Star break, and I think they can bring him back up for that fifth starter, you know, that doubleheader. They can bring him up as the extra player there.
And we had actually kind of mentioned along those lines last week.
Yeah. And it gives him a chance to get a break. And it's a good, it's kind of good, I think, that he gets to do that with two good outings under his belt. I mean, he had a very good outing against the White Sox. He gets to go down with a little bit of confidence, knowing that, you know, hey, this isn't a demotion because you've been bad. It's a demotion just for paperwork. Get you a breather, enjoy yourself, and come back. And he gets to face the Cubs, which is a team that has always been a trouble for him. So having extra rest for that is probably a good thing as well. And then we, I think what Brebbia was the other one that went down, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And John Brebbia has struggled as of late. So that made some sense to send him down. And again, you know, you're getting into that, that time with the All-Star break. Everybody's going to be kind of rested eventually. And if you have to make another move, you can do it soon after. You know, if you do that now, you're going to be able to make a move probably by the end of the Cubs series after the returning back. So it's not a bad thing. What do you think? I mean, obviously I like to see them use Tyler Lyons as a regular reliever, not a lefty reliever, but that's not apparently the way Matheny's going to use him. What do you think you were going to see out of him and out of Gregerson?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that I've said this on here a ton, though, that I do like the veteran relievers. They just know how to get people out. So I'm glad they're both back, and I'm a big Lions guy anyway. You know, everybody on the show is.
Yeah.
The so I'm just excited that that Meyer stayed up and that they see the value of Myers and Gant. And I understand that there it comes with a you know the fact that this is going to be built-in rest for Weaver, kind of like the like they did with Waka, and that they're just going to go with that extra bullpen piece. So I'm excited to see what they've come up with, you know, and there's some good arms that know how to get people out in the pen. So you're lined up well with Martinez, you know, Flaherty, Michaelis, and now you've got a bullpen to get people out. You're lined up well in the series. Let's just hope that it works out and they can score a few runs to get a lead to them.
Yeah. I hope so. I'm, you know, again, Gregerson has, we haven't gotten a feel for Gregerson. I mean, I think as I noticed, he's pitched more minor league innings this year than he has major league innings.
Yeah.
Just because of all the rehabs and such of that nature. Again, I feel like Lyons does better when he's not used for an inning or an out here or two outs there, but actually, you know, is a regular, you know, gets the seventh inning or whatever. But, you know, we'll see how those go. You gotta, this is not the same Reds team that this team has beaten 9 out of 10 times this year. This is a Reds team that's playing much better baseball. In fact, it's probably, as of the last month or so, maybe one of the, you know, at least record-wise, maybe one of the better teams in the whole league. So I don't think you can just start saying, oh, well, the Cardinals are going to tack on 3 more wins here. And if they don't, I don't know. I think there's, I mean, like you were saying, you went 2 out of 3, and you're probably all right. But if you lose the series to the Reds, even though they're playing well, and even though that may not say as much as it feels like it says, you just can't afford to do that right now.
No. Well, and that's the timing of the situation is critical as well. You lose the series, which could very well happen. There's wild card hope in Cincinnati right now. You know, they're playing that well. Their pitches come around, and they've got it. Their daily lineup is better than St. Louis. Mainly because they have a superstar in Votto, but you know, they've got 3 all-stars. So this is pretty pivotal. And why I say the timing is there's a lot of things that could happen to guys that may need whose employment status may be up in question when there's a break. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that may help them is them being one of the few shows Thursday night. You know, because things will have to happen quick. Because very rarely do people get let go or changes get made during the Home Run Derby or the All Star Game because it takes away from the festivities of it. But you know, if they crater this weekend, next week will be pretty telling on quite a few things. Now, no moves probably means no moves. Don't expect any, period. But you know, I think that even with these, I mean, you pointed it out, and it's kind of a mid-season interview with DeWitt today, and Mo's been fairly quiet other than his Monday morning conversations, you know, to start the week with McLaughlin. But you can tell that there seems to be a match lit right now. And, you know, a poor showing this weekend could mean some changes.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I know that they typically don't like to do these kind of things in the middle of the year, but you're right, they've got a off day on Wednesday after the All-Star game. Then they have an off day a week from Thursday. A week from Thursday would be the going to right before they go to Chicago, which is another big series. So, you know, I'm not saying that an off day is when they would make some significant moves, but it very well
typically
may be.
Is. Yeah. You're right, and that's we've talked about this before. And you may be right on that, because that's they play the day game on the 25th and day game on the 25th. Then they play, or they have the off day on the 26th, and that's before coming home. And history has shown that they make a lot of those moves before they get back to St. Louis. So you may be onto something. I mean, you lose 4 out of 5 in Chicago, and you're in hot water. You know, yeah. And you may be buried at that point. So it's that the 8 games on that trip coming out are pretty tough. You know, a 5-game set in any town's tough.
Yeah, that is, and you never want to do that if you can help it. But you know, that's kind of the beginning of the season created those issues. I was mixed up. I was thinking that the first 5 were in St. Louis and then they went to Chicago. It's the other way around.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll be tough.
Yeah. The 26th could be a big deal. I mean, you said, especially if you struggle, I mean, in Cincinnati as well. I don't know. It's a big 2 weeks. I mean,
this Cardinals team could win that 5-game series, and you have a lot of hope. Mm-hmm. Even if you win 3 out of 5, you have a lot of hope. But they would come in and lose 2 out of 3 if not get swept in Cincinnati. That's just how it works.
Yeah,
you know,
with
them.
True.
You know, the minute you feel like, okay, they're onto something, they're going to let you down.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely fair. Or, you know, win the first 4 and then lose the next 4.
I mean, that's... Yeah, really cut your heart out.
You never know. But, 5 against the Cubs, 3 against the Reds in Cincinnati, then come home for 3 more against the Cubs, and then you get the Rockies for 3 in Busch, before, I think, heading back out on another road trip. You know, a 4 against the Rockies, before heading out on another road trip. Of course, the trading deadline comes right in the middle of that Rockies series. Mm-hmm. But, you gotta feel like they're gonna do stuff before then. And I gotta feel like they're gonna do something before that Cubs series in Busch. If they're gonna do anything,
sure.
It's gonna be before that, cause you're gonna want whatever players you have to play the Cubs then. But I mean, you're playing, 8 games, you're playing, you know what? Almost half of your season of series against the Cubs. They're coming in the next week plus. Well, it's kind of when you feel like you should be making your move, maybe that off day on the 18th, instead, and trying to get somebody in for that Cubs series if you've got one. But, you know, I think that, you know, we've said it so much, they want to see what they have. If they knew they were pretty good, if they knew they could make a run, they might try to make them a deal and have somebody get in Cubs so they can play in the Cubs series. But I think they want to see what they do in those five games before they really decide what this team is going to, if it's worth investing in. All right, well, I think we've talked as much as we can talk, and we're having a little bit of technical difficulty, so if this sounds a little weird, it's because we've had to cut and slice and put things together a little bit. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We're, you know, actually doing this early, so you can even listen to us before the game. Hopefully the Cardinals are going to go out and sweep this series with the Reds, but we'll just have to wait and see what they get. If they don't, well, no matter what they do, Alan and I will be back with you next week to talk all about it. So until then, I'm Daniel. That's Alan.
Good night.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.